What's up, guys? Another episode here of the Tampa Bay Real Producer Podcast, the podcast made for real producers by real producers. And we have none other than another real producer here today. We are hanging out here on the studios, the Real Max Studios on the corner of West Shore and Kennedy, the beautiful urban center. Melanie Akison is in the house. How you doing, Donna? Melanie?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm glad you could be here today. Yeah.
Thank you.
I know you're a busy, busy lady, and it was cool that you can make some time to join us this afternoon. So Melanie was recently featured in an episode, actually, or this is the episode, but in an issue of Tampa Bay Real Producers. And this is actually the article right here. I happen to have it on me. Look at this beautiful hair spread of Melanie rocking the red. That is a classy look, of course. Melanie is with Smith & Associates, by the way, for those of you who might not know. And we're going to dive into her story now. So Melanie, let's start with a little bit on the background.
Okay.
So did you grow up around here? How did you get your way to Tampa Bay? Let's start there.
Yeah. So I actually grew up on the west coast of Florida in Fort Myers.
Cool.
Moved there when I was 3 years old, and dad owned an appliance and air conditioning company, dad and mom. So I grew up around construction and houses and mechanical things and stuff like that. Made it to Tampa in December of 99, and I've been here ever since.
There you go. Did you get licensed right away, or how did that journey work?
Not licensed right away. If we want to get into full background, I have a psychology degree from the University of Florida, mm-hmm. which I highly recommend any real estate agent
that
getting.
That makes so much sense.
I use it every day. And then I have a master's degree in human resource management and industrial relations from the University of Illinois. So
very cool.
Moved down to Tampa. I was engaged and pregnant, if we're going to get really personal really early.
We get personal here, Melanie. We talk about anything and everything.
So I ended up in Tampa. That's where my then husband was working, and I've been here ever since. And I've really, really enjoyed my kids growing up here and also seeing the area grow as much as I have. And there's a lot of benefit to have been here for a long time.
So did you move here because of your relationship with your husband, or was there another reason?
Well, that was a pretty good reason.
That was
Don.
The main reason.
So yeah, that was from the his main area. Reason. I didn't really want to go back to Fort Myers as much as I loved Fort Myers, and I knew I was going to end up back in Florida. But I wanted a city. So
sure.
Tampa was really, it's the biggest city on the West Coast. And, you know, frankly, the West is the best.
There you go.
So I was always coming
West
back
side.
Here.
West side.
Yeah. So I've been here since 99.
Very cool. And so I love your point about that whole, you know, psychology side of being a top producing agent. I mean, let's be real. It's a people business, of course, but being able to handle any and all types of personalities and challenges mm-hmm. that arise when you're out there in the market. I'm assuming that degree has played a role in how you've been able to build your business over the years.
It is. It helps with relationships, because if you understand the fact that moving is such a huge life stressor, and whenever you're in psychology, you have, you know, charts of things that are the biggest stressors that you're ever going to deal with in your life. Moving, especially if you're moving from out of state, is a really, really high up one. That on the top of the fact that moving tends to also go along with, you know, having kids or getting divorced or, you know, changing jobs. So mm-hmm. all those things combine to be really, really stressful for people. So if you have the background and the knowledge of understanding why people kind of get a little crazy sometimes during this process, it helps you keep your sanity, and it really helps you when you're trying to help them through the process.
No doubt. So you recommend every up and coming agent get a degree as a psychologist?
Absolutely. Yeah. All of you guys get degrees in psychology, or at least read some books.
That makes sense. No yes. doubt. You got a good book you can recommend, something to help the people?
I don't remember any of the books.
There you go. All right.
No.
Sigmund
sorry.
Freud, one of those guys. He can help
yeah,
you out.
Yeah, maybe don't, you know, go quoting Freud when you're on your real estate appointments.
Yeah.
Just understand.
Might not set the expectations you want, huh?
No, just understand that the reason that people get so stressed during this time is usually for a really good reason.
Got it. Yeah, yes. That makes sense. And I think having that empathy, knowing that it's not about you personally, right? Like no matter what they might say or act, it's just, you have to have that perspective and empathy really yeah. is what it is, of knowing, hey, they're not, who knows what they're going through. That's just emotion that's speaking at that moment.
I mean, if there is anything that I could put an exclamation point after, it would be that sentence. It, especially in the beginning when I was newer, everything was personal to me. You know, I took every criticism, every, you know, thing that went wrong in a transaction, whether it was my responsibility or not, as a personal thing. So it's exhausting if you do that.
No doubt.
You really have to let go of some of that at some point, but it took me a long time. And frankly, I still struggle with that.
That's a good lesson for everybody to take a note of, for sure. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit more about your journey with real estate specifically. When did you get licensed?
So 2007, I got licensed. I always tell people, I think it was the day the market actually crashed, which was fine.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing. You know, I had gotten into real estate from a neighbor of mine. I was in the West Chase area. I had my son, he had special needs when he was a baby, so I couldn't go to work. I desperately wanted to work. It was, it wasn't really my goal to be at home with my kids, but I was really grateful that I was able to do that with my oldest because he needed that. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up having a second one because I was like, well, I'm here, I might as well do that. And then I realized that a friend of mine needed help with contract coordinating, because 05, 06, if you guys weren't here during that time, it was a crazy time in real estate.
Yep.
So I learned the back end stuff from her. She was a wonderful teacher. Her name is Lee Ekovich. If any of you guys ever used her at some
point. Shout out to Lee Ekovich.
Shout out to Lee. She's not really here anymore, but.
Okay.
But yeah, so she taught me
that. Her soul can still feel it though.
Yeah, I'm sure she can. Mm-hmm. She taught me that. And one of the things that she taught me above and beyond all of the real estate things was she just taught me to be very generous with sharing knowledge. She taught me everything. She didn't hold anything back.
And
she wasn't worried about me being a threat to her or her business. She just wanted me to know how to do it right. And she was very smart. I'm very grateful for her and always will be for that. So then I was like, well, I can do this. I'll get my license. So I did that in 07. I had a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
You were a little busy.
I was a little busy, you know, glutton for punishment, but I do better when I'm busy.
You got licensed after you had that relationship going on with Lee.
Yeah. So for about 2 years.
If I'm hearing you correctly. Okay.
Yeah. And then I just felt like I knew too much at that point. So I got licensed and, you know, I always wanted to work. So, it was a really nice career path to go into. At the time I wasn't super, super busy because the market wasn't that good.
Yep.
But I'm so grateful for those years because you learned a lot. Any of us who were around during those years, you learned how to pivot in an instant. We had to go from, you know, crazy markets to all of a sudden every single thing being a distress sale.
Yep.
Short sales.
Short sale crazy. Yep.
Yeah. So you found your people, you learned how to navigate it out of a lot of trial and error. And it really equalized everybody at that time because you had agents who had been in it forever and then new agents. But at that point, everyone was the same and we were all just trying to learn the game. Yep. This new game that we are being played. And we saw something similar happen in the last couple of years with, you know, the market being crazy again, not in a distress sale, you know, sort of way, but all of a sudden we were playing a different game.
Yep.
So everyone has to learn. So
were you always focused in the South Tampa market for
no,
you? You were all
work
over.
Is not in South Tampa as much as I would love for that to happen because the price up here,
we're working on it.
My career really started in the West Chase area in the suburbs. And so it still is focused up there. I do a lot of new construction. So new construction is where new construction is, which is a lot of it's Pasco County or Southeast Hillsborough,
yep.
South Tampa. Yeah, I would sell houses all day long down here, but
gotcha. But you live in South Tampa now, if I remember.
I
okay.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm up in Land O'Lakes, so I'm up in that new construction area that you're speaking of as we speak.
Yep. Nails in your tires all the time.
Your journey since you got licensed, has it been, would you say, kind of just considerable growth, consistent growth over the years? Has it been more of a roller coaster experience over the last like decade and a half that you've been in the game, or how would you define it or explain it?
I would say probably more of a gradual success with a really big bump in the last couple of years. Roller coaster success.
Was last year your best year ever?
Last year was my best year ever. The last couple of years have been significantly better.
37 million, 37 transactions. Good numbers.
Yeah, those were good numbers. And then the year before was really good too. I would say it was steady growth. Obviously the beginning was really slow because of the market. But I still had regular transactions during those years too. It takes a while to establish. Anyone who's expecting, you know, this immediate success, Or if you experience that immediate success and don't expect there to be any sort of retraction from that, you're going to set yourself up for disappointment.
For sure.
So I would say mine was more gradual with a couple of bad years in there. I mean, your personal life really gets in the way sometimes.
That makes sense.
So yeah.
So now that you've been in the game for a little while, you know, like I said, about a decade and a half or so, to you, why is real estate such a rewarding, you know, profession? Why is this something that is a passion for you? What do you love the most about it?
Well,
if you hate it, you can say that too.
Depends on the day, Don. From a personal perspective, I like real estate as a job because I get to be out of my house most of the time. I'm not in an office. It is constant problem solving, and I thrive on that. So just the job itself, and you get to be in houses, which a lot of times I feel like I like houses more than people. But you also get to work with people, and I do like people, and I like all the different personalities and, getting to be social and get to know them. I know the answer to that question should be, I love helping people find homes, which I do.
No, that's not the answer. You want to keep it real here.
Okay. But if we're keeping it real, real estate is one of those very, different professions where there is no cap in what you can make. So if you are a successful agent and you are helping families and you're successful at it, then you're making a lot of money. There's not a lot of jobs that I can think of where, you know, you don't have a cap to what you can earn. So yep. If we're being real, that's a part of it. You also can create your own hours. So when my kids were younger, I didn't miss one thing that they ever did. Mm-hmm. And I still was working full time because you can work at night. You can, have an appointment. Now, don't tell any of my clients that sometimes I have an appointment that's not actually an appointment, but you can make personal appointments, and not miss anything. So, you know, for that reason, I think real estate is it was a gift of a career for me. It kind of, you know, mixed in all of the things that I like to do, as well as giving me the freedom to not be a terrible mother, because it does take you away from your obligations at home a lot.
For sure. I mean, the more people you help, the more money that you can make, right, without a doubt. And we all have a limited amount of time that we can put into things. So trying to find that balance between, you have three kids, is that correct?
I have three boys.
Three boys. They're going to, two of them are in college now, I think.
Two are at UF. They followed me. And then one is a junior.
Studying psychology?
No. I think I have saved up some money for their therapy that they're going to need later being raised by me. But they are much smarter than me. One is going to grad school for business analytics and the other one is an economics major. So
something tells me you did something right, Melanie.
I don't know. I was just winging it.
I think you did okay.
That was the joy of being a young parent, is I didn't really know what I was doing.
You figured it out well. Sometimes that's all you can ever ask for, right?
Exactly.
So one of the things that Melanie's really known for in our market is her YouTube channel. She's done a great job in creating an online brand. As we know in the real estate world, it's always a good thing to have a brand and figure out what you want to be known for out there. So let's talk a little bit about when you started the YouTube channel, why you started the YouTube channel, and what you've learned since getting that rolling now over the time that you've had it.
Yeah, well, I have to give all the credit to starting the YouTube channel to the former client of mine, Jen Moore, and she was moving back to the area. She was a former television producer. I'd worked with her here in St. Pete during the downturn, and she was coming back from Atlanta. She had worked at CNN, and she was like, hey, I have these channels. I think you'd be great on your own. Do you want to do one? And I was like, sure, why not? Hmm. I mean, I didn't really know anything about it. Wasn't a YouTube watcher myself.
Right.
So it was a weird platform to kind of just jump into. But I didn't have anything to lose. At the time I was rebranding myself. I had left the team that I was on for a long time. So I really wanted to create my own identity. And we created, you know, the name Melanie Loves Tampa Bay, I think in like, I don't know, 20 seconds. And then, you know, you're stuck with it. Like when
that was created for the YouTube channel.
It was. Yeah. It was meant to, kind of evoke what we wanted for the channel, which wasn't necessarily a real estate channel. I didn't want to have just home tours all the time. I thought that was really boring. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that we were talking about houses and Tampa itself. And you know, what life is like here. pros and cons to living in Florida. And that was in mid-2018.
Okay.
So, you know, I talked to a wall for months and months and months and months. And again, just really didn't have a reason to stop. She was very reasonable as far as cost. So I just kept doing it. And then, and I'll never forget it, it was my middle son's birthday in the middle of April of 2019. My video that was living in Florida, like what it's really like. I think the script took me an hour to write, started hitting. And I started getting, you know, all of these views, and it went from, you know, you're struggling to get 100 subscribers. So all of a sudden it went from maybe 150 to 1,000 in the span of 2 days. And
I reached what some people would call as the tipping point.
I was floored. Yes. So once YouTube starts suggesting your video, all of a sudden it becomes a whole different animal.
Yeah.
So that was really the start of the success of the channel. And then from there it exponentially grew from there. YouTube is very, very fickle. The algorithms are very difficult sometimes. Like right now, the channel is down a lot. It went from being huge in COVID times. And that's the other thing is we obviously had no idea COVID was going to happen. And then when it did, and you're a real estate agent with all of these resources on what it's like to live in Tampa, and everyone from the country seems to be moving to Tampa, it became overwhelming the amount of people that would reach out and everything, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
But it required, you know, a lot of reworking and getting a team and getting an assistant and all of that stuff. So
you required all of the work that you put in prior to that YouTube channel popping. Like, think about all the time that you put into speaking to a wall, as you put it, that actually added up to mean something, right?
Of course,
over
yeah.
time. And a lot of people, I think, even if they dabble with something like that, they just give up on it if they don't see immediate success, right? A lot of people are kind of in this mindset, like popcorn success is what they believe they should have. And if it's not immediate, they're out. And yeah. I think it's a testament to why it has worked for you is that consistency that you put into it over time. I think that's played a role.
Yeah. I think, the consistency is key. YouTube, again, is a difficult platform. It requires a lot of skill that people either don't have or they can't pay for. So it's not the one that I typically recommend to people if they're asking me for advice because it is really difficult. Again, I was so naive about all of it that I didn't really understand. The other social media platforms are so much easier. And maybe don't give you the same results as I've had on the YouTube channel, but at least get you out there. And they're free for the most part. That's like the most wonderful thing about all of the social media opportunities that we have in our business. We're salespeople and we have all of this free advertising that literally goes out to the entire world.
Right.
If people aren't taking advantage of that and not taking the time to learn it, they're really doing themselves a disservice. And, you know, I run into a lot of people who are just like, oh, I hate social media. And it's, you know, they always reference, you know, oh, I don't want to see what someone's eating for lunch. And it's like, it's not that anymore.
No. Might as well be saying I hate people because people are on social media.
Exactly. I mean, I've learned so much from other agents, from, you know, our partners in this business, from watching their social media channels, whether it's Facebook or Instagram. TikTok is the one I haven't really embraced quite yet, although
this
I do like watching
time.
It.
Yes.
I know. Yeah.
It is kind of interesting.
It's fun.
You into those 15 to 30 second dance maneuvers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. See, I will not do that. I don't think anyone wants to see that, but maybe one day with you, Don, I'll do it with you.
I'm down.
You want to learn a dance.
I need all the help I can get. So I'm sure I can learn a few things from you, no doubt. What can you think back to when this YouTube channel started going? And, you know, I think, it's interesting, you know, in Tampa Bay, I've had the pleasure of interviewing a lot of top producers over the last few years, and you really don't see many, if any, successfully do what you've done, right? In that YouTube space. What are some of the challenges that you remember having as you were building the channel? And it doesn't have to just be specific to the channel, but any particular challenges that you feel like you came across? I feel like a lot of people now associate you with that channel and your brand is now associated with that channel. So maybe it makes sense to have it be relative to that. But can you think to any of those moments and look back at it now and be like, you know, I'm a better agent today because of the challenges that I had to overcome and what I learned from that? Anything come to mind?
Well, I was following you until that very last part of the question.
I confused you, didn't I?
Yeah. It's like, I feel like those are two different questions, but I'll address the first part. With the YouTube channel in general, they're from an agent perspective, I had the benefit of having a producer behind me the entire time, and the quality that she's able to produce and the feedback and the posting of the videos and the knowledge that comes from knowing the back end of YouTube was key in that. And that is a lot of what agents don't understand. They're real estate agents. They're not YouTube producers. Yep. So those are two different things. And you can think you know YouTube and you don't really know YouTube. So a lot of the success I have to give to Jen. It was, you know, it's me there. I write all the scripts. You know, most of the ideas are things that I want to talk about, but she's the one creating the quality and film and audio, and then doing the production of it and the editing, which is extensive. So that's really what makes YouTube a difficult platform. And the reason why a lot of agents don't take the time to do it is because it is extremely time consuming.
Gotcha.
So even what she gets paid to do it, I can't imagine putting in that time to do my own editing. Now, there's a lot of third-party companies that will edit, and a lot of companies now that do editing. But again, if you're looking to do social media as a real estate agent, YouTube is a tough one. And that's why I'm guessing there aren't a lot of people who do it, because you're just throwing so much time and effort. And then once you get busy, you don't have the same time and effort to do it.
Right.
So
we were talking about before you came on, one of my favorite books is Who Not How, written by Dr. Benjamin Hardy. And it's funny you bring up the importance of that, you know, relationship that you had with your producer, because that's really the premise of that book too, is like when you have something you want to do, maybe it's a YouTube channel or some task that you think is going to be beneficial for your business, the first question you should be asking yourself is who can I find, who can I partner up with to help make this easier, right? Rather than how do I do it? Which I think is the common go-to for a lot of people, is the first thing they ask is how do I get it done?
And the YouTube space, there's a lot of agents that are out there that are doing videos for clicks. And my number one rule with the channel was always to be professional and never do topics just for people to click on. Now, some of them are super clicked on. Some of them will tweak the title a little bit to make it a little bit more interesting for people, because we ultimately do want people to watch it. But there are a lot of agents, and I won't name any names, that are constantly putting videos out there with extreme titles so people will watch them. I always wanted professionalism above everything else on the channel. I write all of my scripts. I am not speaking just off the cuff, because I want to make sure the message...
The opposite of what we do here, obviously.
Well, yes, I haven't practiced any of this. So, and I do have some frequently asked questions episodes on there where I'm not script writing, but it was more important to me to be concise and to actually deliver information to people, as opposed to teasing information, which a lot of people think is a good strategy. And to be too wordy and have people sit there and watch and say, I just lost 12 minutes of my life and didn't really get anything out of that.
Yep.
I didn't want that. I would take quality and professionalism over views any day.
The skill set you've developed now because of this channel, and I think it's fascinating to hear more of maybe your tips and thoughts on how you've made it work. I'm sure people would love that. Have you been able to take some of those same skill sets and help you with other social media platforms as well? Has that changed the way you view social media in general, or has it played any role at all?
Yeah, of course. You know, all the social media platforms kind of relate to each other. So you promote one on the other. So I use Instagram more than any of the other ones, as far as, you know, whether YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Instagram to me is fun. It allows me to get little messages to people as opposed to big messages. And I think one of the most interesting things about the channel is I didn't actually realize how many real estate agents were watching it, how many people in Tampa knew about the channel, because most of the time, the only people I hear from are potential buyers or sellers that are watching it a lot of times from other states. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm really big in Long Island, New York. So shout out to anybody from Long Island. So many of my clients come from Long Island. But I didn't realize that, you know, other people were watching it that were real estate agents, yeah. real estate professionals. But I think the exposure that I could give those videos on other platforms like Facebook and Instagram, obviously get people to go to the YouTube channel and look at it. So yeah, they all work together.
And have you found that with YouTube being, would you call that your like main platform, your bread and butter, as far as where your energy and focus is?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Nope. I film a couple episodes at a time and then they get produced and then they get posted. So as far as energy on social media, I spend way more energy on doing Instagram posts, which might not be the best thing to do. Maybe I should do more, YouTube videos, but, I like the instant nature of the message that you can convey on
the
other platforms. So even whether it's Facebook, are people still doing Facebook?
I believe so. Yeah. I think it's still out there and about.
Yeah. Yes, there's an instant message there.
Tampa Bay Real Producer Facebook page.
Yes. Yep. It's great. Yeah, I saw it yesterday.
It is still there. So would you say that if you were sharing some advice to some agents that are trying to develop their brand, would you consider social media, you know, maybe the idea of like finding a platform that you want to be, that you want to develop something on, right? A specific brand, or what are your thoughts on how somebody should approach that, knowing that there are so many different platforms out there? Is it key to even pick one, or should you just try to get in as many as you can and see which one you like the best? Or do you have any thoughts on how you would advise somebody who wants to maybe, you know, build their own brand in the Tampa Bay market or any other market?
Well, I think all of the platforms deliver something different. So Facebook is more of a platform that delivers kind of longer messages and educational things, whereas Instagram is more, you know, pictures, kind of quick messages and, you know, reels that are a minute long, YouTube being the longest platform. TikTok is actually one, you know, that's 3 minutes long. So kind of in the middle there. But the biggest thing with social media is to create an identity of your own. So if you like Instagram and you are using Instagram, then start with the one that you use and mm-hmm. that you know.
Makes sense.
So if you're a Facebook person, then start with Facebook, but
start
with something,
right?
And try before you start to figure out what your identity is going to be and do your best to stick with whatever it is that you're branding yourself to be. So Melanie Loves Tampa Bay on YouTube is different than Melanie Loves Tampa Bay on Instagram, but it has the same fundamentals. So I'm trying to post about what I'm doing in Tampa Bay. So if I go to a restaurant, I'll post about that. If I'm selling a house, I'll post about that. So it's the same brand, but mm-hmm. it's different. It looks different on both platforms.
Has your brand evolved as well? Because you're now building a team as well. Mm-hmm. Am I correct about that? And so you at some point were focused on your individual brand, right? As Melanie Atkinson and what you were bringing to the table. When did that evolve into developing a team name and a team brand in terms of what your focus is now? Has that changed?
Yeah, whenever we realized that there was no way I could keep up with paperwork and clients.
There was too many deals flowing through, huh?
So when Karen, my assistant, first came on, she was... Now, all my paperwork was always perfectly done. It was just not always turned in correctly in the Smith portals, but it was always done. So like, don't tell on me and say I didn't have my contracts done. But
this is just us two talking.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's just so us two talking. Yeah. We turned in, when Karen started, she was uploading everything. There was 21 pending sales that I had that were not turned in to the Smith portal. So to say that they were a little surprised.
Good thing we brought on Karen.
So Karen is my right arm, my left arm, both of my arms. And her husband, Nick, is just joined the team. And my requirement to Nick was, you can come on the team, but if you leave, you can't take Karen. That was the agreement. So
sign it in blood.
Yes. Sign it in blood. I had been on a team before. So if we can talk about teams for a little bit, I think they're a wonderful way for newer agents to start. You get fed leads, you get to learn from your team leads, hopefully. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the learning aspect of it, make sure your team lead is somebody who is a teacher mm-hmm. and wants to be a teacher and right. isn't threatened by you learning and then you leaving. So my that's essentially what I did when I worked with Lee, is I learned and then I left and then I became competition. She was never afraid of that. Now that is a hard thing for a lot of agents to get around.
Yeah.
So as a team, if you're the head of a team, you need the people to show houses and you need your buyer's agents. You should also be teaching them and not threatened by them.
Such a great point. I had a mentor once who taught me this point, where I had a business where I was getting frustrated because I was training people and they were leaving, but that was kind of the natural progression of the business. And I remember my mentor sat me down once and he goes, "Well, Don, would you rather be training people and having them leave, or not training people and having them stay?" And I was like, huh, that's an interesting way to look at it, right?
Yeah.
And you know, the reality was, is of course you want to be focusing your energy on training the people so that they're producing for you while they're with you. And you know, at the end of the day, like you're usually going to be blessed regardless. If you start to become known as a great trainer, you're going to continue to attract, you know, more of the right people in your organization. I think it's a great way to look at it.
Absolutely. And I mean, I don't know about everybody else who's a real estate agent, but I want to elevate this profession as much as I can. So teaching people and taking the time to, like, I've had Nick with me in the car all week long, because that's the best way to learn, is to just follow me and, you know, listen to what I'm saying. And I mean, he's listening to phone calls and, you know, going to inspections with me and all the things that I do on a normal basis. So teaching people that way and not just, you know, trying to, you know, here's a terrible lead, go run it down and everything else. I don't know. So anyway, back to teams. I was on a lovely team. They're still my friends, Nancy and Doug Wood. I was on their team for a long time. And we were much more of a partnership. It wasn't a team, like I wasn't really a buyer's agent for them. We got together in 2011 because frankly, the market was so terrible that you just needed people to communicate with. There was really few agents left at that time, believe it or not.
Different than what we have today, huh?
Yes. Now everyone, I always tell my clients, when you get into the state of Florida, they give you a real estate license when you drive past the border. So I found the team aspect to be wonderful. Socially, I had already had, you know, my own bank of business whenever I joined the team. So I wasn't joining it as a buyer's agent per se. But I do think there is a lot of benefits to newer agents joining teams. If you are out there on your own and you are trying to learn this business on your own without
a
mentor, there's so much. There's so much to learn. But yeah, I mean, I think it's great. So when I started my team, I didn't want to have the responsibility of being anybody's boss. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to train them. I wanted them to be capable people to take leads that I couldn't work. But I didn't necessarily want to, I wasn't a broker. I wasn't their broker. I didn't want to be a boss. I didn't want to have to worry about that. So my teammates, Dale, is military. Karen is a military wife, and Nick, her husband, is military, and they're used to teams in the military.
Yep.
So Dale was actually the one that convinced me to do it. And it was mutually beneficial for all of us. I was just very resistant because I remember when I was on the team, the hardest part towards the end when I had more clients was that you were kind of invisible if you're not the team lead.
Right.
So my name wasn't on my own.
You're not showing up on the MLS sometimes, depending on how they want to do it.
Yep. Exactly. So, and that was tough once I had my, you know, once I really had a lot of clients, and that's when I left, which is why it was a very smooth, you know, departure and everything like that. But I didn't want them to ever feel like, you know, I didn't want them to feel that way. So right. I made sure that they understood that this was the downside to it and, you know, that they could leave whenever they want and, that I would do everything I could to promote them individually. So we work much more as, you know, friends and colleagues than we do as the team.
Yeah. You bring up a great point. With any team, it's about creating proper expectations. Right. And it sounds like you were able to do that through these conversations with people. And once you kind of establish what you want your team to be known for, what you want your brand to be, then you tend to attract people that are aligned to that. Right. And that want to participate and learn from somebody like yourself, who obviously has done well, not only numbers wise, but has built a brand now that means something in Tampa Bay. And you can see why people would want to learn as much as they can from you. And then if they go out and start spinning off their own YouTube channels, I don't think you'll hate that, right?
No, I wouldn't. I hope they have me as a guest star.
There you go. There you go. That works.
No, I want success for all of the people that work for it. So there's room for all of us out here.
What are you most excited about moving forward this year? It's, what is it, February? What is
it's the
date?
It's the end of February.
February of 2023. This is 2023, is it not? Yes. Okay. So what is Melanie Atkinson fired up about this year? What are you building towards?
Well, I mean, from a personal perspective, Tampa is, there's a whole bunch of work that's coming to fruition here in Tampa, especially on Water Street. We have a whole downtown that has been a concept and has been under construction for years and years and years. So we have this amazing downtown area that's kind of blowing up right now. So it's really fun to be here. Because I've been here for so long, it's just night and day how different this area is. So I'm mm-hmm. really excited about all of the development that's going on. From a professional perspective, we're just getting into our spring season. So we're still dealing with pretty low inventory, and the inventory that's out there is pretty bad in a lot of instances. Mm-hmm. So I do expect it to be another challenging market just to get buyers into houses that they want to be in.
Right.
Cause there's just not that much for sale still, unfortunately, for people. But
do you have a niche as far as the types of clients that you normally attract? Is there anything
the
there?
The best clients.
Of course, just the best.
The
is that how you market the channel?
People,
we
yes.
only reply to the best people?
Absolutely. If you're a good person, I want to work with you.
That makes sense.
No, all of our clients are great. Some of them get more stressed than others, and that is fine.
Do you work with investors at all?
You know what? Investors have never really been my thing. It's a different animal.
Yeah.
I like the personal relationship that you build with somebody who's buying a home. So I get so much more from that. So investors are not really my favorite.
Makes sense.
Type
yeah.
of client.
It is a totally different animal. There's no doubt
it
about
is.
It.
I think yeah. there's people that are really good at that. I am not that.
Gotcha.
Person.
Talk a little bit more about just you personally. I think people like to know a little bit more about hobbies and interests. What fires you up? What do you do in your free time? Because I'm sure you have a ton of free time that you love
time,
to spend out there. What keeps those juices full?
I love when people ask about hobbies as if I had time to have hobbies with three kids and a career. But what keeps my spirits up. I love live music. So we live in Tampa, lots and lots of concerts. I travel for concerts.
A lot of that around
here.
I
do. As much as that as I can, that's oxygen for me. I also am a huge Lightning fan. I've been going to games since 2001. I've been to all of their Stanley Cup wins, and that includes
nice.
The one where they weren't here.
Actually, for the clincher itself, the clinchy
yes,
game?
I was actually at the stadium on the plaza there. And that was fun. I did not post anything on that because I was afraid people would be mad that, you know, because that was 2000 or that was 2020. That was crazy time. So I love
people are just haters. I mean, come on now. We're celebrating the Lightning winning a title.
I know.
Let's just be real people.
That was, those were good times. We're getting into the fun part of hockey season now too. So I love the spring. I don't love
big hockey fan. Is that your favorite sport?
Well, my maiden name was Marino, and I grew up in Fort Myers, so I was a huge football fan. It was the 80s in Florida, so I was a big Dan Marino fan. We never saw the Bucks on TV ever in Fort Myers.
I don't think anybody did in the 80s.
So I was not a Bucks fan. And then I went to my first hockey game in 2001, and it took 10 minutes of sitting in there. I was like, this is the sport for me.
Right.
It's inside. It's cool. The players are interesting. I can see them better. A lot of them are very cute. I love the pace of the
game. That's why I love it too, of course.
I know, right?
Yes, yeah. No doubt.
So I love the pace of the game. It fits my personality so much better. So
it's very different than on TV too, isn't it? It's cool. I, when you go to a hockey game in person, it's a very different experience than when you're just watching it on TV, at least what I believe, what I've found.
Yeah, and the Tampa Bay Lightning have such a great fan experience in general. So
the pace of play is awesome. Every now and again, you'll get a
amazing.
Nice fight that'll break out. I mean, come on now.
I know, I'm on
it's
the fence on fights. So when I first started going, fighting was normal. It happened all the time. And you just expected it. You had the enforcers on the team. And now fighting is, you know, doesn't happen quite as much. And I worry so much more about them when they fight now. Whereas before I was always like, yay, fight. Now it's like, oh, don't hurt that person. Because everyone's
that's that motherly instinct of you coming out.
Problem, or more of a finesse player. So I don't want them to hurt their hands or, you know, get concussions.
I feel like most guys feel the exact opposite. They're out there like, yes, throw the right, throw the left.
I know.
It's uppercut time.
I know. So yeah, so football's harder for me. I have a very short attention span. So going to games can be long and hot.
Do you talk a lot about these things on your YouTube channel too, in terms of like just what's great about the Tampa Bay area, the teams, the everything that has to offer? Is that a big like?
Not really. No. I don't think I talk about sports all that much on the channel. I probably should. I get asked about it all the time. Mm-hmm. I reference the Lightning a lot in certain episodes, but no, I don't get asked a lot about that. But no, I mean, just moving forward in this year, I'm 46. My kids are grown. I'm a single woman, so this is a really fun place.
You're going to get a lot of people sending you DMs now, I got to tell you.
You know what? It's almost insulting how little DMs I get, and I say that not wanting a whole
bunch
of DMs.
Step it up, people. Come on now.
I'm like, is there something wrong with my page where I don't...
They're just intimidated. That's what it is.
Don't get any DMs, like to an insulting degree. It's really bad.
Well, I think they figure, you know, top shot, hot shot agent, you know, YouTube channel, there's an image that you're very successful. It's like they just don't feel like they stand a shot, Melanie. That's what it boils down to.
I literally sit at home with my dog most nights. Yeah.
There. Well,
yeah.
You heard it here, people. See, we get into the truth, the nitty gritty at the Real Producers Podcast.
You got to listen to the whole thing to get the real
story. That's right.
Don't
be skipping through this. Let me tell you that right now. Now we're getting to the interesting stuff. We're gonna wrap up actually with a couple of things. So rapid fire, just get a couple of your favorites. And then we always kind of end with a legacy question. Okay. So favorite book, or seminar, author, somebody who you think's made an impact on you? Anything come to mind?
Nope.
Not one, huh?
Nope, not one.
You don't read?
I read, but I don't read. I read for pleasure, not for learning.
It could be a fiction book.
Yeah, no.
Nothing, huh?
No.
Okay, no worries.
I'm sorry, can we skip past that one?
Yeah. I mean, why do you need to read when you're doing YouTube channels all the time?
I like writing
better than
reading.
Okay. Writing like yourself, you mean? Like journaling?
No, not journaling. Oh. Writing YouTube scripts.
That makes sense. Do you is it a thing where you can like publish those scripts, or is it you would ever want to do that?
I think they're published with me saying them, so they're published.
I mean, the content
and
they probably would be of some value. I would imagine. I guess that's
maybe
a whole other
so.
Conversation.
Yeah, especially the ones from a long time ago. Those are bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense too.
Okay, I failed that question.
How about a favorite movie? No.
I love movies. My youngest son loves movies. I always have to watch all the Oscar contenders every year. And some of them are really, really bad. I don't like favorites. I don't like picking favorites other than number and color.
You can just share one you love if it's not a favorite. It's a very pigeonholed question,
yeah,
I guess,
no.
Right?
I don't know if I have a favorite movie. It all depends on where you are in life.
I'm trying to give the guys some information so if they DM you, they have something that they can throw your way to grab your interest.
For the record, I like all types of movies, and I love movies. I love going to the movie theater, and there's really not a lot of movies that I don't like because I love the fact that you get out of your own head for a little bit. So that is, I'm a fantastic movie goer because I will believe everything that's going on. I don't try to predict it. I just like am enjoying it and watching it. So
that makes sense. Living in the fantasy world for a few hours at
exactly.
least.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Favorite food
or restaurant? French fries. I mean,
French fries.
I am a French fry.
I love that. Cheap date.
All
McDonald's it is.
McDonald's French fries
that
are
works.
Some of the best. And a Diet Coke.
All right.
It's a dream come true.
So here's your legacy question.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, we all have this journey that we're on that we call life. When you think back to how you want to be known when the time comes, whether when you're done with business or maybe you'll never retire, does it matter to you? And if it does, what would you want your legacy to be, Melanie, in terms of what people would remember about you, your brand, and your impact in the Tampa Bay community?
It's a great question. And I actually had thought about it because you asked me to think about it. And that was probably the hardest one for me to answer. You know, the generic answer would be, I just want to be remembered as being a good person. But I think, you know, as my career goes on and as I, you know, understand how much, teaching people about the Tampa Bay area helps and teaching other agents how to do this job. I want to be remembered as somebody who shared what they know. That was a fun person to be around. I think I make the experience of working with me, both professionally, or if you work with me on my team, a lot more fun than a lot of people do. I don't take myself very seriously.
I've had fun interview today, so that works.
Well, good. So yeah, I mean, I, I don't know if I, you know, want to be known for anything huge. I just want to, you know, raise good kids that have a work ethic that will make them successful and a curiosity. That was something that I was always taught, was to be very curious and to always ask questions. So I want to be known as that, a fun, curious mentor.
Yeah.
Real estate professional that elevated the industry. Here, that's good.
That's good. Yeah. You should write that down.
See, this put is why I have to script. Write my scripts, because it takes me a while to kind of, you know, figure out what it is that I want to say. I don't land on it.
Well, you nailed it. I think you nailed it.
Thank you.
And I like that you brought up your kids too. I think one of my pastors actually told me one time that, you know, in our lives, especially as a parent, there's going to be some times where our main intent in life is who we raise, not just what we do. Mm-hmm. Right. And the impact you think about, you know, I'm a Christian, but if you study some of the characters of the Bible, it was the way their parents raised them that you might not even know the parents' names, but you think about that and it's like, well, you really do make an impact even out as a parent on those lives. So I know your boys are a little bit older, mm-hmm. and they're now going to be on their own journey here, but even though you didn't give yourself credit earlier, I think you did a heck of a job raising them. So
we'll get their opinion.
Nice job, Melanie. Good work.
Thank you.
We're going to wrap up. Melanie, by the way, has been nominated as a finalist as a social media superstar next Thursday at the awards banquet. So check her out. TBRPAwardsVoting.com is where you can vote, by the way, for Melanie over the next week. And we'll be giving away one winner. Hopefully we'll see you there with a couple of your team members. Should be a fun event. That's at the Vault in downtown Tampa. But I want to thank you again for being here today. Again, the Tampa Bay Real Producer Podcast is for real producers, made by real producers, and looking forward to being able to have our next episode coming at you here shortly. Stay classy, Tampa Bay. We will catch you on the next episode. Later.